In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask pardon for my sins and the grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Lord, today we come to pray again, which means to talk with you and to listen to you. And we pray about our prayer as the children of God. You teach us to pray like that. We see you in your prayer in the garden, begging your Father to be delivered from that chalice of suffering. We open the Gospel of St. Mark to the 14th chapter, and he relates that prayer. Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Remove this chalice from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. And Lord, you too pray to your Father, and you address him as Abba, that familiar word which might be translated for us as Daddy, Dad, Abba, Father, and then reminding the Father that he can do all things. All things are possible to you. You are God Almighty, God the Father. There is nothing you cannot do. All things are possible for you. And then the petition, remove this chalice from me, this chalice of suffering that awaits me, this chalice of my passion and death. And then adding, yet not what I will, but what you will, accepting the will of God. And Lord, how much you teach us in those brief words, your own prayer of the Son to the Father, calling him Father, reminding him that he can do all things, making a petition, and then accepting whatever the answer might be. And you taught us to call God Father too. You taught us to pray the Our Father. Bonaventure Perquin, in his book entitled precisely Abba, Father, on our divine filiation, that is, on our relationship with God who is Father, writes, Christ taught the adopted children of God to use the word Abba in addressing their heavenly Father. The same word which he himself always used when speaking to his Father. As we see, for instance, in his prayer in the garden, Abba, Father, all things are possible to you. Remove this chalice from me, but not what I will, but what you will. The passage that we have just read. Now this word Abba was used only in addressing one's own father, and in speaking in a more distant sense, or of anyone else's father, it was the rule to use suffixes. For example, one would say Abini, our father. Reverence made the Jews feel that it would be unfitting to speak to God in the same way in which one spoke to one's own father within the family circle. And so they used the word with a suffix, such as Abi, my father, instead of the simple Abba. After the incarnation, however, all this was changed. Our Lord taught his disciples to address their Heavenly Father as they would their own father in their own family, Abba. This shows how insistent our Lord was that his disciples should see in their Heavenly Father a true Father with whom they could feel completely at home, and with whom they could live on terms of deep intimacy. It explains, too, why the Spirit of the Son, who brings his teaching to life through the ages, never ceases to inspire the adopted children to say, Abba, Father. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Words of St. Paul to the Galatians in that final quotation. And Lord, we thank you for revealing to us that God is our Father. In a sense, the Jews knew that too in the Old Testament, but they didn't have that intimate relationship with the Father that, Lord, you taught us to have. With the incarnation, as the author writes, all of this is changed. Now, we don't say merely, my Father, but Abba, Daddy, that more intimate term, that familiar relationship between each one of us creatures, sinful creatures that we are, and our Heavenly Father. We don't look on God merely as the almighty creator, the creator of this vast universe with his almighty power. And of course, God is that. But he is on a more intimate relationship with us, as you have taught us. He is our Father. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church, in its commentary on the Our Father, tells us in paragraph 2782, we can adore the Father because he has caused us to be reborn to his life by adopting us as his children in his only Son. By baptism, he incorporates us into the body of Christ. Through the anointing of his Spirit, who flows from the head to the members, he makes us other Christs. And that is the reality. When we are baptized, we are baptized into the mystical body of Christ. We are members of his body. He is the head. We are all Christs. We are all the Son of God in the Son in Christ. And so St. Cyprian adds in this same paragraph of the Catechism, the new man, reborn and restored to his God by grace, says first of all, Father, because he has now begun to be a son. That is our relationship with God, sons to a father. Perhaps we have seen that conversion story on the internet of an Indian imam who became a Catholic. And one of the reasons that he says for becoming a Catholic was that in Islam, we look upon God as our master and we are his slaves. But in Christianity, we look on God as a father. And we are his children. And he said, I didn't want to be the slave of God. I wanted to be his son. He became a Catholic and he took the name Mario Joseph. Mario after Our Lady and Joseph, of course, after Saint Joseph. And St. Paul writes those very words that we are children, not slaves. We open the letter to the Romans in the 8th chapter and we read, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of sonship. When we cry, Abba, Father, it is the Spirit himself bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Not slaves, sons, heirs with Christ to that divine inheritance which is in this life grace and the love of God, and in the next life eternal life with God in heaven. That greatest possible joy, supreme, definitive happiness. We are heirs of this because we are sons in the Son. And Lord, you have taught us to pray to our Father. We open the Gospel of St. Matthew to the 6th chapter in the Sermon on the Mount, and you say, in praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words, as if eloquence, many words, would impress God. Rather, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That beautiful, simple prayer to our Father, which is the Lord's Prayer, the one the Lord himself taught us. And Lord, how much good it can do us if sometime we simply take the Our Father as the subject for our mental prayer. And we go through each word, each phrase, perhaps using the Catechism in Part 4, which deals with that extensive commentary on the Our Father, to cement this relationship of ourselves with the Father as his children. Fathers give their children what is best for them. And Lord, you go on to say that also in the Sermon on the Mount, now in the 7th chapter of St. Matthew's Gospel. Ask, and it will be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it is opened. Or what man of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? And Lord, you are teaching us that earthly fathers do the best by their children. They give good gifts to them. And they, as you say, are evil, not meaning that they are bad, but that they are simply limited. They are only human. They can't always give what is best to their children. But if you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him. Our Father, God, will always give us what is best. And St. Thomas Aquinas comments on the Our Father, among the necessary conditions for one who prays, confidence occupies an important place. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. Therefore our Lord, on teaching us to pray, begins with the reasons that give rise to this confidence. One is the goodness of the Father. And so he says, Our Father. The other reason is his immense power. So he says, Who is in heaven? And Lord, we come before the Father with that trust, that confidence that he is almighty and all goodness. He is Father. And this good, all-powerful Father will give us what is best. St. Augustine comments, How is it possible that God would fail to hear us and to grant us everything we ask of him after having granted us the grace of being his children? The greatest grace is that of being his children. Having granted us that, surely he will hear and grant us whatever is best for us. And always understanding that what God gives us will be what is best for us, as earthly fathers give their children what they see to be best. And sometimes the children are asking for something that the father knows will not be for their good. Maybe those young children are asking for a mobile phone connected to the internet, a smartphone, and that father and mother know this isn't good for that child at that age. And so they say no, and they are giving the child what is best. And God, in his eternal divine wisdom, knows even better than parents what is best for us. He will give us what is best, and it may not be what we are asking. And if he doesn't give us what we are asking, we can still be assured that he loves us, and precisely because he loves us, he is not going to grant us what we ask. And Lord, we look at your example. You were praying in the garden, as we read at the beginning of our meditation, to be spared that chalice of suffering. And you are the beloved Son, in whom the Father is well pleased. Did he grant your request on that occasion? No, he didn't. Because he knew what was best for mankind was that you would go through that passion and death for our redemption and our sanctification, to be reconciled with God after original sin and all of our personal sins. If God the Father did not grant his eternal beloved Son what he asked on that occasion, we can be assured that he will not grant us everything we ask if it is not for our good. He is truly a loving Father. And Lord, help us when we ask God for something to add as you did, nevertheless not as I will, but as you will. We accept the will of the Father. He will give us what is best. And again, St. Augustine comments, God shows himself to be a Savior, not only when he does what we ask of him, but also when he does not do it. For in not doing what he sees to be contrary to our salvation, he shows himself to be even more a Savior. The doctor knows what the patient is asking, which will benefit him and harm his health. And when he asks for things that will hurt him, the doctor does not do his will in order to procure his health. And God is the best of doctors. He is not going to give that patient something that will harm his health, something that will not be for his good. He gives us what is best. And Lord, help us always to be prepared to receive whatever God wants to give us. It will be for the best. And we think of that Spanish nobleman in the 16th century, the Duke of Gandia. His wife was dying, and if she died, the Duke would be left with 8 children between the ages of 8 and 15. He prayed that his wife's life might be spared, and our Lord answered him that it could be as he wished, but that was not the best for him. Taken aback naturally that God would allow him to have his own way, the Duke then surrendered himself completely to the will of God, offering God not only his wife's life, but his own and that of his children. A few days later, his wife, Eleanor, Duchess of Gandia, died, and the Duke, in due time, went on to become a Jesuit priest and a canonized saint, Saint Francis Borgia. Lord, you know what is best. You will give us what is best. Help us to realize that, to have faith and trust in you, and to thank you for whatever you give us. You always hear and answer us. And we go again to your prayer, this time in the Gospel of John, just before you raise Lazarus from the dead. They have taken away the stone from the tomb where Lazarus is buried, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this on account of the people standing by, that they may believe that you sent me." Dear Lord, you remind us, "I know that you always hear me," you say to the Father. God always hears and answers us. And Lord, help us to accept whatever your answer might be. And often that answer is not now, later. And so we continue to pray with perseverance for whatever length of time may be necessary. You give us those 2 examples in the Gospel of St. Luke of perseverance, of pestering until someone gives in. The widow with the unjust judge pestering him until he finally gives in. The neighbor going in the middle of the night to ask for 3 loaves of bread. And since the neighbor wants to get some sleep and this man is banging on his door, he finally gets up and gives him the bread. And this is what you want us to do, to pray with perseverance. And many of those intentions for which we are asking will take a long time. If we are praying, for example, for someone to come back to the practice of the faith, one of our children, one of our relatives, a friend, this is not the work of a day or perhaps of a month, but often of years of continuous prayer. For someone to be converted from a life of sin to a life of virtue, for someone to come into the church to have that grace of conversion, for someone to have a vocation, years, perhaps, of prayer, Lord, grant us that gift of perseverance in prayer, perseverance with faith. And St. Jose Maria writes in the Way, in the chapter on prayer, persevere in prayer, persevere, even when your efforts seem barren. Prayer is always fruitful. And if in the end we did not receive what we were praying for, we received something else that made that prayer very fruitful, our sanctification. The time we spend praying is pleasing to God. It sanctifies us. The insistence, the faith, the humility with which we pray sanctifies us. If we did not receive at all anything we asked for, we would have received our own sanctification and all the grace, all the merit, the treasure stored up in heaven as a result of that prayer. Lord, help us to persevere even when we are not receiving what we are asking for. And St. John Vianney comments, the third condition that prayer should have to be pleasing to God is perseverance. We often see that God does not grant immediately what we ask. He does this so that we desire it more earnestly, or so that we appreciate its value more. This delay is not something negative, but rather a test that disposes us to receive more abundantly what we are asking for. The longer we have to wait, the more we pray, the more we exercise faith and all of those other virtues, the more we grow, and then we value this thing that we are asking for all the more. And so St. John Chrysostom comments, when I tell someone, pray to God for that, ask him, beg him, they answer, I've already prayed for it once, or twice, or 3, or 10, or 20 times and got nothing. Don't stop, my brother, until you get it. Petition ends when you receive what you are asking for. Stop praying for it only when you receive it. Better still, don't even stop then. Until you get it, keep on praying for it. And when you have got it, thank God for it. And we finish our prayer again, Lord, with thanksgiving to you for revealing to us that God is truly our Father, that he always hears us, that he gives us what is best, and help us to pray as the children of this good Father, with all of that faith, that trust, that perseverance, that humility, and we will be sanctified by that prayer. And Mary, our Mother, teacher of prayer, help us to pray like this to our good Father in heaven, that Father who is almighty and all-loving, so that we will be sanctified by our prayer and we will receive whatever is best for us. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, and inspirations that you have communicated to me in this time of prayer. I ask your assistance in putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me.